This is a spiritual reading being given for Keppel Cassidy on Saturday the 18th of June 2022 in Victoria, Australia by John Rawson. We perceive the individual as is given to us in the Hall of Records. And the Book of the Soul is presented to us, Keppel. And the Book of the Soul is a metaphor. It contains all your previous incarnations from whence you originally entered into Earth consciousness until the present incarnation. So it contains the records of the soul, contains the traumas, it contains the memories, the good and the bad. But the book has a cover. And as it's presented to us, the cover is a deep blue with tinges of red, almost like indigo in it. The cover contains a title. And the title, as we understand it, is The One Who Counts. The One Who Counts. In the centre of the cover is an image, and the image is of a person who is probably a merchant or something like that, in costume, I would say about the 15th century European, Florence or somewhere in Italy, and this person holds an abacus in their hands. Now that is not a real picture. I'm not saying you had an incarnation in Florence in the 15th century, though you may have, we'll find that out. But it is the soul communicating something of its purpose. When the soul first came into incarnation, it possessed certain qualities. First of all, it's from what one might call the spiritual, the blue stream. And so that the cover of the Book of the Soul is this beautiful blue, almost indigo colour, and indicates that the soul came into incarnation originally for spiritual reasons. It wasn't for sexual reasons, it wasn't to care for the earth, it was that there was a spiritual reason behind your coming into incarnation. And as we see you coming in, you actually first entered incarnation quite late in the Atlantean period. And you didn't want to come into incarnation, which is interesting, because the soul didn't want to come into incarnation in this lifetime either, by the way. It wanted to stay in the spiritual worlds. Well, you delayed coming into incarnation for a long time until you were called by the Holy Ones, or give them that name, the spiritual powers which govern human incarnation and human evolution. And you were brought into incarnation at a particular time, as I've said, in Atlantis, in order that you might assist with the development of the mind. And you were particularly suited, or your soul was particularly suited to this task because of its soul name, the one who counts. Now, that can be taken in a couple of ways, but in its first sense, it's the one who counts, like the abacus picture indicates someone who can calculate, work things out on a mental level, make choices based on thinking and calculation. And you were brought into incarnation in order that you might add something of this quality to human evolution. Because up until that time, when the quality that you represent started coming into human consciousness, there was no counting, there was no calculation, there was intuition, there was intuitive knowledge, there was spiritual vision, but there wasn't much in the way of counting. And we will expect to see that there are lives where this quality of counting and of calculation are themes of the life. Not so much in this incarnation, which is interesting, but you have asked about purpose and what you need to do to experience soul, physical healing, etc., and your life purpose and the work that you came here to do. Well, these are all interrelated, that once again, you should be able to take stock of your life, take account of your life, and there is another meaning of the word count, and that means stand up and be counted, so that it's not enough for you to retire and sit back and be in the background. Life wants you to stand up at some stage, take a stand, and here's that word again, be accountable. And this is a lifetime where counting is less important than accountability. We will see that presently. Well, we shall open the book of the soul, and it opens to the pages representing this present incarnation. And the soul writes this book. It illustrates it. It writes in it. And on the right-hand side, as I look at it, is an illustration in colour of the soul. And it not only describes the soul as it is present, it contains also the history of the soul. And the soul depicts itself in colour, and these are the colours of the aura. Now I'm going to give the colours of the aura as they are at present, and I may make little comments about them now, but we will come back and revisit them later. The first colour is light brown, and that colour connects you with the physical world. It says that this is an incarnation which is about being physical, living in a physical body, coping with physical ailments. And brown is not an easy colour for the soul to work with, so sometimes it creates discordancies within the physical body. It indicates, or it can indicate, that you have the physical body may suffer from long-term chronic conditions. that at some stage in this incarnation, you'll probably struggle a bit with your health, physical health. Brown is not a colour of vitality, that's the reds. And there's no, there's very little red in your aura, which is unusual. Reds are indicative of vitality and energy, and if there's no red, it indicates that you can struggle on a physical, a mental, and emotional level with well-being and energy. And that, of course, will colour the thinking that it makes, especially with the other colours, it makes you prone to conditions that are to do with depression. Now, I don't mean that in a clinical sense. I don't mean that you're liable to be clinically depressed. That's not what I mean. What I mean is that you're a person who mourns rather than laughs in this incarnation. And if you want to know what to do to heal yourself, laugh a bit more. Enjoy life. Don't take yourself and life too seriously. Believe me, life doesn't take you too seriously. And what's coming up for you, you will have plenty of opportunity to look at the vagaries and whims of destiny, which of course is just karma in disguise, and say, well, I didn't see that coming. And it will give you a chance to develop resilience within yourself, to develop a sort of a bounce and a bit of spirit in the way you walk, a bit of attitude. Sure, you've got attitude, but you can have attitude and attitude. There's attitude which sees everything negatively and pessimistically, and there's attitude that says, well, nothing is going to stop me. It's attitude number two that we want to develop. So that's the browns. Come back to that. Second colour is green, strong greens. Oh, this is an unusual combination. You must be an unusual sort of bloke. You're not going to fit in round holes because you're a square peg. Stranger in a strange land. Uncomfortable with your role in life. Haven't found yourself yet, probably. Well, that's okay. You're going to find yourself. And the self that you find may mean that you have to leave the old self behind. There's not room in your life for the old and the new. And believe me, the new is well and truly making an entrance. So greens, a sense of restlessness. I'm surprised that you are born in Australia and you live in Australia, because often people with green as a first or second colour like to travel. They want to experience the world. And the other way the green can manifest is that you want to live surrounded by green. You may have a green thumb. You may work in landscaping. You would be good at working with the land. You'd be really good at growing things, at engaging with the world of nature. Then the third colour, deep blues, strong blues. Blue is a really difficult colour to work with sometimes because it has a depressing effect. And it's because it's not a bounded colour. Blues are like the sky, they're boundless, unlimited. And it makes it harder to create a focus within life, and yet the call of spirit is very, very strong, because that's blue. Blue is God. Blue is the spiritual worlds, and it can have lots of other meanings as well. From the shoulders, purples. Really unusual colours here. Purple shoulders, colours of the mediator. Could have been into psychology or psychotherapy in this incarnation. Or you might have spent some time with psychologists and psychotherapists as well. The two tend to go together. But the colour that comes from the shoulders is, in a sense, the colour of purpose, because it's what will lift you up. And so it's when we come to discuss the purples that life will open a pathway for you. Deeper reds, by the way, not light reds, but deeper reds around the gonads and around the throat and around the heart, indicating strong energies in the physical levels, physical sexuality, strong. The deeper reds in the heart, heartache, heart wounds, as though you haven't found what your heart desires. The heart knows what it wants. The heart knows what it knows, but it doesn't always have success in communicating it to the brain. So, next phase of life, next 7 years, a huge transformation beginning at the heart levels and opening up the will levels and eventually creating a brand new understanding of self and way of thinking, which will of course be in the brain. In the head, light yellow browns. So more browns, but this is yellow, which is good because it indicates here someone who can use their mind and their thinking. Critical. Sometimes too critical. But it's good to have that colour there because it indicates discrimination and it indicates someone who can think through situations. There's a disjunct between the head and the heart at present, that the energies are not flowing through the subtle bodies, through the astral and the etheric bodies properly. And that may well come out in certain physical conditions, but it also means that the emotions are not flowing freely within yourself and within your life. And life is going to present some challenges between now and about 2024, 2025, the next 3 to 4 years, particularly challenging. But as someone said, when life presents you with lemons, make lemonade. So see the challenges that are coming up, challenges on an intellectual level, challenges on an emotional level, challenges on an identity level. These are all going to come along. And by the way, you've just been through a big period of transition where you've been building a new understanding of who you are, a new identity, as it were, a new sense of identity, that's probably a better way of putting it. And that would have taken about the last couple of years, and before that, preceded by a 2 to 3 year period when everything seems to dissolve around you. So you should have been through the worst of that. And you probably think, oh, now it's time to get into the car, motor down the freeway and start achieving and building and achieving purpose and so on and so forth. But life says not so fast, Keppel. We have something for you to do yet. Some more tidying up, if you like. You're the coming to the age of 50 this year, which is a profoundly important age in our understanding of karma. You complete your karma at the age of 49. Now, that doesn't mean that after that you're karma-free. No, we always can create karma, and we can always encounter karma. But if I can put it in a very simple way, before you came into incarnation, your soul made an arrangement with the lords of karma to do certain things, to meet certain people, to repair wounds within other souls, to have balance brought into your own soul through the agency of others. And some of that, that happens particularly between about the age of 30 and the age of 50. And in that time, you are bound within this karmic framework. And it doesn't seem to matter what you want to do, what the longings you have within you are. You can't escape the karmic repercussions of previous life events. You just have to watch it go. Relationships come and go, people come and go in your life. You may not have the job that you wanted. You may feel that you can't find your purpose. That's okay. Purpose from that sense has already been fulfilled. You've already met your karmic obligations. Now what happens now is that most people don't realize that karma's over. Very few people are in tune with their soul to the extent that they say, oh, good. All that's behind me. I don't owe these people anything anymore. That's great. I can go ahead and create positive karma for my next incarnations. I can move forward on the road of life, which is what you want to do, isn't it? You want to move forward. But now you've got to give yourself permission, because part of you says, I'd like to move forward, but oh my God, all these things are holding me back. Well, they're only holding you back insofar as you buy into and attach yourself to them. And I think you know what I'm talking about here. But you do have the capacity. The soul now has the freedom to move forward without being bound in the straitjacket of previous karma. Now what that means is that choice becomes much stronger. And in the next 6 to 7 years, 7 to 8 years actually in your case, a task is going to be presented to you. In fact, that should be very close. There's something that's come into your life, perhaps it's already come, or perhaps it's going to come very, very soon, that will create a quantum change. And by that I don't mean a tiny change, I mean a state change. So going from one state to another state. And this is an irrevocable change. Once you take the step, you'll never be able to go back. So, good to have the LS in the head there. The vortex, as we see it, is orange. And the orange represents a force, a power of change coming to your thinking. And when something changes, when your thinking changes, then your life changes also. At present, we don't see cosmic colours, which is unusual, but there's a reason for that, which we'll come to in a moment. Interestingly, red's around the hands, which is unusual, and brown around the feet. Browns around the feet indicate that you choose normally the practical direction in life. Not going to be airy-fairy about your decisions and goals. Practicalities, money, property, what you can own and possess, these are going to be important in terms of choosing a direction. And the reds around the hands means that you've got work to do, building to do, creating with the hands, hands-on time within your life. There are certain other artifacts within the aura. On the left-hand side is a picture of a large cat. Well, when I say cat, I actually mean an animal from the cat family. And the word that comes to mind is a civet cat, and I'm not quite sure whether that's this cat, but it's large, and it's got spots on it as well. It's not a leopard, but it's spotted, and it's walking on the left-hand side from the front to behind. And it indicates an energy that comes to you from the past. On the right-hand side, well, that's interesting, on the right-hand side is a palm tree. Now that's an interesting symbol, and it indicates an energy that's going to come to you from the future. And there isn't anything in front of you at the moment in the center of the aura, but what is there is the symbol of the Overself, and that's above the head, about 4 to 5 inches above the head. And the Overself represents the real self. We cannot clairvoyantly perceive the real self of another human being because that's the most sacred part of that individual. It resides within the Holy of Holies, and only the High Priest, which is the real self, can ascend into the Holy of Holies. But nevertheless, from this privileged place of sanctity and safety, the real self places or communicates with us through an image. And that's what we call the image of the over-self, the picture of the over-self. And as I see it, it's a large old-fashioned grinder, sort of made of a silvery metal. And it's got a sort of a funnel, and it's got a handle. And what happens is that things poured into that, you move the handle and you grind them into something small. And above that, on either side, flying above it, are two angels. And that's why there's no cosmic colours, because the angels represent spiritual principles, spiritual energies given from the cosmos coming into your life. And we will see how that works out. That's the right-hand side of the book. Now there's a left-hand side, left-hand page too. And here the soul has written a little message for you. And the message is in three lines. Sometimes there's a title, but I don't see a title at present. But the message comes in a little verse. The first verse is to leave behind the garden of roses. To leave behind the garden of roses. First line. The second line says to enter in to the thorns of the world. To enter in to the thorns of the world. And the third line, to find self through losing self. To find self through losing self. And as a fourth line are two words, in service. So the soul has a message here, and this is the purposes of this incarnation: to leave behind the garden of roses, to enter into the thorns of the world, to find self by losing self in service. And those are actually very interesting instructions from the soul, which we will revisit later in the reading. Now, going to return for a second to the colours of the aura. The colours express or are a result of previous incarnations. And the first colour, the light brown, comes from an incarnation in China about the 3rd century BC. And your name, you in a male body, your name is Hong. Not sure the rest of it, but Hong. And you are there an astronomer. You look at the skies, you chart the heavens. You do the mathematics, the counting, if you like, that anticipates or that maps out the cycles of the heavens and the earth. You create star charts, almanacs. Now, when you have a life like that, you bring with you into this incarnation good thinking skills. And it's interesting that you had an incarnation in the 19th century. I think it's the 19th century. Again in a male body, European. And France, actually, in about the 1860s, is where I see you. And you are associated with a school of philosophy. It's called practical empiricism, or something rather empiricism. Something to do with something very practical, pragmatic, perhaps. And something that's based on science. You, in that incarnation, were very scientific. You were a gentleman. You weren't a scientist per se, but you were a sort of a gentleman scientist. And you knew the scientists and the philosophers of that time. You were a very sceptical person that incarnation, probably still sceptical today, which is a good trait to have. We should be sceptical. We should expect that we discover truth through inquiry, not through revelation. But in that incarnation, you were quite atheistic. Well, you were an atheist. And you wrote articles against the church, and you were pretty unpopular with the clergy, I have to say. And it's interesting because that life is linked to yet another incarnation. And here, this is in the 12th century, you're part of the Inquisition in a place called, the name has gone past me, but it's in the south of France, or possibly the north of Spain, but it's where France and Spain meet. And you were involved there, in that incarnation you were in holy orders, you were a monk, again, learned, but this time you were learned not in science precisely, but in theology and the teachings and dogmas of the church. You belonged to the Order of Dominicans, and in that time, in that place, they made use of you as an inquisitor. That is, you were part of a panel, group of three judges who would judge heresy trials, And in order to extract confessions, the inquisitors were not averse to using torture, physical torture. Now, when one has been a torturer, in some sense, then in later incarnations, that shows on your own body. And you may experience at times problems with the muscles or even with the bones in this incarnation, pains and perhaps arthritic conditions. And this, if you experience something like this within the physical body, then it's something has been unresolved. And what is not resolved in that case is that you haven't forgiven yourself for the life where you inflicted pain on other people. So that as a reflex, the soul takes on pain in this incarnation, and the astral mind, not sure if you understand the term astral, but the ordinary mind gets itself into a negative feedback loop, and because it subconsciously regrets causing pain, it wants to atone by putting that pain on self. So it's a reflexive mechanism, self-reflexive mechanism. And I would hope that the next 3 to 4 years is a releasing time for you. It's a chance to change a lot of values within your life, a chance to become less judgmental perhaps, a chance to become more open, more accessible, more... and I'm not saying that we shouldn't question, but sometimes instead of rushing to judgment, we should let things sit for a while. We should allow things to mature within us and then make decisions based on the process, not on the appearance. And in the 12th century incarnation as the monk, the Dominican monk, you were just as dogmatic, by the way, as you were in the 19th century as the scientific atheist. And you can see that it's easy to swing back from pole to pole. And you may well experience that in this incarnation because you still have those two lives. You've got the brown, which says, feet on the ground, no one's going to fool me. The Americans have a saying, I'm from Missouri. That is, I'm going to test everything, and if it doesn't pass the pub test, then I'm not going to accept it. And then there's the idealistic side, because my God, are you an idealistic person as well, which is the blues, which is why you've had incarnations, religious incarnations all over the place. Where should we go with this? The incarnation in Egypt, here in a female body. About 3,000 to 2,500 years before Christ, so quite a long time ago. Here in a female body, dedicated in a temple dedicated to Isis, or the female equivalent then, and you had sex with one of the priests, which was not permitted, not at that time. It wasn't that you were exactly celibate, but you shouldn't have had sex with this particular person. And as a punishment, you were sealed into a tomb, a sort of a bricked up hole in the ground, really, and stones and bricks were thrown on top of you, and then the lid was placed on. Not a nice way to die. Perhaps you don't like small enclosed spaces in this incarnation. But when you have an incarnation where you're punished for sex, then that tends to make it difficult in later incarnations. Not that you wouldn't have sex, but that the expression of sexuality is either on or off. Either you are fully into it and you let yourself completely go. That's a physical aspect of sex is very important. Or you shut it away. And because you had an incarnation in Tibet in the 14th century, as again a sort of a, not a monk, I suppose a yogi, where you lived on your own and meditated a lot, that you cut sex out completely in that incarnation. It's as though there's a pendulum that swings backwards and forwards from complete celibacy to complete sexual expression. And I've noticed that you've asked about a partner, a life partner who's a true soulmate and soul companion. Well, it's really simple. You need to change yourself. If you haven't got a soul partner in your life at present, then you haven't undergone the life change that will prepare you to meet that individual. Now, I keep coming back to this point that change is in front of you. Change self and everything else follows. Is a really interesting incarnation. In the first century of this era, in a male body, and you are walking with the Apostle Peter, the disciple. And you're walking out of Rome. You're walking away from Rome because of the persecutions. And on the road, Peter has a vision. You're with him. You know that he's seeing something because he goes into a trance, or what appears to be a trance, and he's saying, "Yes, Lord," and something else and something else. And when he finishes, when the vision finishes and he comes out of the trance, he turns around and starts walking back to Rome. And you run after him and you say, "Peter, where are you going?" And Peter says to you, "I've seen Christ. And Christ was walking back to Rome. And I asked Christ why he was going back to Rome. And he said, I'm going back to Rome because that's where I'm needed. Where are you going?" And so Peter, on that spot, turned around and followed Jesus, followed his vision. And you followed Peter. Well, you might say that wasn't a very good decision, because Peter is crucified, you're crucified next to him, and very painful way to die, crucifixion. But what that means, Keppel, is that you have the capacity to sustain pain for the sake of truth. Now, you didn't see Jesus in that life. You didn't encounter Christ. You encountered Christ through Peter. And it may be that in this incarnation, you will encounter Christ through someone else again. Because Christ is certainly coming into your life. That's the meaning of the oranges. And once again, you'll be with someone who can transmit to you a sense of the reality of Christ. Now, Christ, in the end, is very simple. Christ is the real self, the real Keppel. Christ is who you are to such a degree that he's even more you than you are. And this is what we all long for. We long to have that understanding and that experience which transforms our consciousness to such an extent that we are able to move forward with purpose. We want a soulmate, but does the soulmate want us? Are we ready for the soulmate? The most important step that we can take towards our purpose and our meeting with the greater reality is to release who we are now. The release of self, the letting go of self, is part of your path for the next 7 or 8 years, actually. And as I keep saying, there's a chance, a great, life is going to present you with 3 opportunities, perhaps 4, to let go of the old Keppel. Nothing wrong with the old Keppel, by the way. He's a good guy. He's very earnest. He gets along well with people, on the whole. He's got a really good mind. He can tell you where to go if it suits him. He's a bit up and down sometimes. Sometimes he gets a bit depressed. But that's okay. He pulls himself up by the bootstraps and he grits his teeth and he marches on. Well, you can't just march on in life. What moves us in life is not duty, marching on, sense of purpose. What moves us on is joy. So we have to be open to joy in our life. As C.S. Lewis says, joy surprises us. We are surprised by joy. And the greatest thing you can do in order to answer all your questions is to suspend sometimes there's a lovely phrase from William Shakespeare's time in the theatre where they'd put up a placard saying forest here, and there was nothing there except perhaps a painting of a tree. Forest here, says the notice, and the audience would engage in a willing suspension of disbelief, a willing suspension of disbelief, in order that they could enter into the drama and the emotion of what was being portrayed for them on stage. So you're going to be asked at times to suspend reaction. Suspend the normal mental processes of saying, oh, this is all whatever you want to say, in order that you can experience to the deepest emotional soul levels what is occurring within your life. You don't come through the light except through the night. The purples from the shoulders, beautiful colour. I'm just going to cut to the chase here and say Keppel are the colours of a priest. These are the colours of someone whose soul finds its greatest expression and service to other people, to other souls. Not in building a life for themselves, although that can well happen, but in trying to support, encourage, uplift, facilitate other souls. And you've got brown as the first colour. You can be really good at doing this in a really practical way. Who knows, you might build a building that will help other souls. You might create a garden that will help other souls. You might have a business that will assist other souls in their own paths. And if you're going to have a business, I would have a horticultural business, I think. But very creative, artistic even, artistic nature. Greens, artistic energy, music. Use your voice, sing, join a choir, have music in your life. Music counterbalances the seriousness and the focus on the difficult that the blues bring. Incarnation in Atlantis in the temples, when you first came into incarnation, and there you were, I think we'd call you an oracle, in a female body then, and this was when you first came into incarnation, where even though you had the soul quality of counting, because you were a new soul, new in physical embodiment, you were so close to spirit that the spiritual worlds could talk through you. They could give advice. You could emanate wisdom. And something of that quality is within you to this day. The ability to transformed the clairvoyance that you had in Atlantis into thinking in the course of many, many lives. Now it's time to transform the thinking back into clairvoyance, but not back, because the old clairvoyance which you had in Atlantis was where your conscious self, your sense of self, was bypassed, whereas now your sense of self has to become welded, united with the real self, the divine self that's there. And that is going to be quite a journey. Let's look at the instructions, if you like, that the soul has left you. To leave behind the garden of roses. Well, you are very comfortable in the spiritual worlds. It's a world of beauty, and you love beauty. Your soul loves beauty. It wants to live in beauty. It wants to create beauty. And you can do that in the spiritual worlds, because beauty is nothing more nor less than an exercise of the beautiful within the soul. harder when you're in the earth incarnation to exercise that beauty, but the soul still knows it has that beauty and wishes to create that within the world. But you did, you left the Garden of Roses and you entered in to the thorns of this world. And I would have to say, Kepel, that I don't think this has been an easy incarnation. I see lots of thorn bushes. And even when you pick up a rose, you grab it by the thorns. But you have grappled with the thorns that pierce you in this incarnation, the anxieties, the worries, the traumas, the physical pains, the mental anxieties, the emotional pain at times. You've grappled with that. The time for doing that is actually at an end. We have to be careful when we have a life that's difficult. It's really easy to construct a self around the pain and difficulty of life. People can say life is hard, life is difficult, life is full of pain. Well, yes it is. But you can release all of that aspect of life now. And we come to the last part of your life. This is the final part, the crowning segment of your life. Hopefully you'll live for another 50 years, but in that time, this is what you have to do. The last line, to find self, you lose self. That is the image of who you are, that you've built up so painstakingly. You have to let go. And the soul has a final message. How do you release self? You do it, the soul says, in service. So you are in service to other people. You are in service to higher ideals. You're in service to the spiritual world. And in the end, you can be in service to Christ, because Christ also says to you, where are you going? Now, you have two important images in the aura. The first is on the left, the civet cat. And that's a sort of a sneaking aspect of self that's a bit feral. And it's an aspect of self that you don't need anymore. Cats are pretty selfish beings. Self-centered. They're after their own comfort. And they are really good at stalking prey. Well, you can let that part of self go. You don't need to live a life where that energy has any say in it. So get rid of it. On the right-hand side is a palm tree. Now, you know, that actually has a very specific meaning, because it signifies the entry of Christ into Jerusalem. You'll find that in there. In the New Testament stories, how Christ enters into the New Testament riding a donkey, which symbolizes the lower nature. And this is what you're going to do in the next 50 years, God willing. You are going to be like Christ and you're going to ride upon your lower nature. Now, the symbol of the overself is really wonderful. It's this mincing machine where you are grinding up everything that comes to you. Grind, 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 grind. And what you get all this wonderful thoughts, impulses, concepts, observations, energies. They come towards you, they get ground up into something that you can understand, into little bits and pieces that you fragment. And so instead of having a holistic, a whole understanding, you have scattered bits of understanding. You understand something here, you understand something there. But you don't need to do that anymore. The time for the mental grinding, the mental dissection, the mental analysis of self, of life, of other people, that's coming to an end, because above that are two angelic beings, one on the left and one on the right, and they're blowing trumpets. And they are the angels from the book of Revelation. And they represent a communication from the higher spiritual worlds, and it's the communication is always wake up, become awake, become an awakened being. There is so much for you to see, so much new experience to enter into, so much wonder and beauty in the world. And you've been given one of the greatest challenges of all for someone with an analytical mind. And that is to, I think you're Virgo actually, aren't you? Well, that is to let go of the analysis, let go of taking apart, let go of discriminating, of having to have a reason for everything. Time to smell the roses. That's what you did in spirit. That's why you like the rose garden. You could smell the roses. And time to release the past, release the old, smell the roses, and open yourself up to joy. Fill yourself with that joy. It's waiting for you. It stands in front of you. It says, don't go any further down this path. Go back. Take something beautiful, the beauty that's inside you, the beauty that's inside the soul, and use it in service to the world. Create beauty, not just beautiful things, but beauty in souls. Follow this. Follow the path of Christ, who always walks back. Never walks away from pain, walks into pain, because his task is to light up the world and renew the world so that what is painful now may in the end become transformed into knowledge, wisdom and truth. And if you can do that with your life in the next 10 years or so, you will have become a transformed being, and that will benefit not just you, but many other souls as well. That would be a great purpose and a great task. And when you get that done, by the way, there's a lot more waiting after that. But that's another story. So shall it be.